Let's face it, not all side hustles are created equal, especially for pastors. But more and more, I'm talking to pastors that are looking for ways to supplement their income. So in this conversation, we're going to break down some of the best and the worst side hustles, from those that you should do right away to the ones you should never consider. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about the top side hustles for pastors. In fact, we're going to rank 11 of them for you and where we see them fitting. Some of them great ideas, some of them, I think, kind of, terrible. So we'll talk a little
terrible
bit about them.
Terrible to mid, somewhere in
between. And we have a ranking system like we do every one of these ranking episodes, right, Ian, of how we're going to label these.
We always try to get cutesy and creative, I guess, with how we're going to label them. We usually have three, the best being blessed and booming as a side hustle.
Is it blessed or is it blessed? I don't know which one I'm supposed to say. It's
pick
whichever one's
blessing.
Holier.
Pick your blessing. So, but blessed maybe sounds holier. Blessed and booming. Or is it just a Sunday supplement, which could be just, you know, good, I guess, not great. Or if it's bad, we're going to say it's really a holy hustle headache.
Holy hustle headache.
Yeah.
Triple H.
That's it. So
awesome. Well, it should be fun. We've done some content.
We've
done some content over the years about this. I'm a bivocational pastor. You have been a bivocational pastor, Ian. Till you became a fallen shepherd and no longer a servant as a pastor. I kid, he didn't fall.
Those that watch us enough probably know our humor a little bit by now.
he is not a fallen shepherd. But
thank you.
I have my entire ministry career been a bivocational pastor.
Yes,
I would not call what I do at Reach Right a side hustle necessarily.
No.
I think it's somewhere mixed in between the two. I do know there are so many pastors out there that are looking for ways to supplement their income and make things just work a little bit better for their families. And so we've tried to make some content around this. It's done really well in the past. And so we wanted to do kind of a ranking episode and give you our thoughts on these things here. So let's go for it, Ian.
Lay them on me. First one is writing and selling books.
Writing and selling books. Okay, so I know that we have some other ones in here that are going to get into other kinds of writing.
Categories.
But the writing and selling of books, I'm going to start out on this one. I'm going to start out harsh, I think, on this one. And I would say that this would fall into the holy hustle headache category. For the writing and selling of books. More on other writing ideas later. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. But books specifically, I think so many pastors have this idea. Now, I'm not against the idea of pastors doing, like, writing books for their own personal development. I have been blessed by many books by pastors. But as a side hustle, like with the intent to be a blessing and to make money, I think that for a first book, if you've never done it before, just know that it's not it's not a gravy train with biscuit wheels, as Big Hearn would say, right?
So that's right.
It's something that might take a little bit of a little bit of work to be able to figure this kind of stuff out, figuring out publishing. It's not for the faint of heart with this kind of stuff. So for that reason, I say that it would be a holy hustle headache. If you just want to write a book because you're passionate about a certain topic in scripture or a theological topic or an ethical conversation, please, like, we're totally for that. It very well could be blessed and booming in that regard.
Be.
But as a side hustle to make money, I think you have easier routes. So starting off with a smack in the face, I would say, on this one.
And I agree with you on that, Thomas. And I think that sometimes as people become pastors or go into the ministry, that if they have a calling, and by all means, everyone who's called, that's an amazing thing. Everyone has a great testimony. Some have what they consider dynamic testimony. So they often think, oh, wow, you know, I need to write a book. Well, like you said, kind of count the cost. But I think it's one of those easier things to think of as a pastor to do on the side, but not counting all the cost that goes into it. So next one would be like offering online courses and online coaching.
Okay, online courses and coaching. I generally like this idea. Not something that we do per se. We don't offer this kind of stuff here at Reach Right. I've played with this idea for us of doing online courses around some of the stuff that we teach here. If you think that would be something you'd be interested in, let us know down in the comments. We'd love to get some feedback on that and kind of test the waters there. I think we have a lot of good stuff to share with people.
Well, certainly.
But we do that in a different way. We offer services that do that. And we tend to give this stuff away for free. So I like the second part of this more than the first, I will say.
Right.
So online courses, I think, would be bordering like on the holy hustle headache in my view, just the amount of work it takes. And again, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing for pastors to do. I think the trouble you'll run into is actually the selling of these courses.
Right.
So turning them into something that people will pay for. That's the challenge. It's not that you don't have good content. And this is really true for just about any business. Like there's lots of people that are really good at plumbing. Their biggest challenge is finding people that need plumbing and doing the connection side of things there. So the same thing. You probably have really good things to say as a pastor and could make a great online course, but it's finding people that are willing to pay the $99 or $4.99 or whatever you charge for that course there. So on the other end, the coaching side, I think there's probably more opportunity here because it's probably easier to find one person or four people that want individual one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
You know, think of it almost like, counseling and some of those kinds of things that people want. Now, there's a fine line there between what's pastoral counseling that you should be doing for free just to offer pastoral care and what is coaching. So something to consider like where that line is there. So on the whole, I would say this one, I'm going to put it in the middle as a Sunday supplement.
There you go.
I think the coaching one is a good idea, bordering on top tier. And then I think that the courses, just because you need so much volume for it to make sense, probably close on the bottom tier there.
I agree with you there. And the beginning part of what you said there is what I see all the time whenever I consult with pastors is they've taken the time to come up with this content and the online courses, but then they have a real difficult time marketing that and selling it. Yeah. So, and there's a lot that goes in. That's a whole nother.
We can help with that though, by the way. That is kind of in our wheelhouse here at Reach
Right. And that's why I've heard about it so much. Yes. But, yes, there's a lot of work that goes into that and you have to count the cost as well. Yeah. So, but well, next one, speaking engagements, that seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think so. For this one, the only rub I can think of here is that the main time where you'll be offered speaking engagements as a pastor is a time that you're probably busy. Because the main thing you can do is go and speak at other churches, which is great. Yeah. And I still think this is a good idea all the time. Like, I think pastors should probably, like our pastor, our lead pastor at my church, where I'm the executive pastor, he gets out to other churches probably 3 times a year, I would say, and does a speaking engagement there, delivers a Sunday message. In a way, it's kind of like a week off because you can usually use a message that you've already preached that did well in your home church, those kinds of things. So I love this idea. And then especially if you can do other ones that are at other times. So I've seen some pastors do well with like school assemblies, being able to do some of those kinds of things, speaking at chapels at local Christian schools or Christian colleges. There's lots of different opportunities where you can do these kinds of things, but you're probably uniquely suited to do it. You know, very few people have to go up and give 30-minute speeches once a week. So you probably have more training than the vast majority of your community. So I think in most cases, pastors are great at this. So I'd put this one into the blessed and booming.
All right, there you go. So, well, good. Next one, blogging or podcasting. We're doing a podcast.
We are. And it may surprise people to know that I think that see, this is another one that's kind of split.
Yeah.
So I'm going to separate these two out. We're going to make it, we're going to do 12 side hustles we'll talk
there
about
you go.
Here. So, all right, podcasting. I put podcasting squarely into the holy hustle headache category. Mm. As someone that's done a podcast for, I think this is episode 252
that
we've done weekly. So 5 years worth is what we're at basically at this point of weekly podcasts that we've been doing. I think that this is not something that if you're looking for a side hustle to make money in the next year or
right.
few years that yep. you should be doing podcasting.
Right.
Now, there's, I'm sure, some outlier stories of people right. that set up a podcast and tens of thousands of people listened and sponsor offers
they
came.
They were already some big evangelist or something like that. Yeah. Sure. So. Yeah.
I'm talking to a pastor that needs to consider side hustles to help yep. make ends meet and right. supplement income there, basically.
Yep.
So
yep.
for you, I just don't think the earning potential is there for podcasting in that realm. So that's in that one. On the blogging side, there's two ways to approach blogging. So if you're thinking of writing your own blog, just like writing a blog that you start there, holy hustle headache. Like that's going to be the same issue yep. as podcasting is that yep. the payoff on that and the time it takes to get yeah. there is not going to make sense for the average yeah. pastor. Am I for blogging as a pastor? Am I for doing podcasts? Yes.
Yes.
I love
yes.
you sharing your stories, but yeah. not as a side hustle. Don't think of right. it that way. So we do this. I'll reveal to people like our podcast by itself. Let's just
yeah.
kind of let people know on this. We have a business at Reach, right? We help churches yeah. and nonprofits do yeah. marketing, right? That's what yep. we do here. So that's where our money comes from. We do make a little smidgen of money from all of our YouTube videos.
Yep.
Part of that is our podcast. The vast majority are other long form videos and that yep. kind of content we make there. So do you know how much money we make monthly, Ian, from our YouTube channel and the podcast yeah. and stuff that goes on there?
$20? Am I in the ballpark?
No, it's a little, it's better than that. It's better than $20. But 250 episodes in with all the editing and all the stuff that goes in, plus probably 200. I think we just posted our 1,000th video on YouTube.
Okay.
It's about $350 a month. That's where we are right now.
That. Okay.
5 years in. So
5 years now, in, a lot of work.
yeah. Right. Yeah. yeah. And that just, like, we just got to this. I think if you yeah. looked at us a year ago, it would have been like $60 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
So your time spent on this is, you're much better off, I mean, selling oranges on the side of the street
yeah.
than you are doing something like this.
Yeah.
So when it comes to actual money that you can make for a typical person trying to do this. Now, the one exception, that's I think for podcasting and for blogging, the exception to this is blogging for somebody else. And by that, I would call this like, actually, this kind of gets into the next one. So maybe
yeah.
we'll go into number five. This is
freelance writing where I would is put what that is.
One.
Yep.
Yeah. The next one is freelance writing. And for this one, I think is, I don't think it's at a place right now where it is a blessed and booming. I don't think it's quite there, but I might put it at a good, solid Sunday supplement. I know this because I personally, we hire people that do freelance writing for us here at ReachWrite. So, and typically our path to employment in our marketing team here at ReachWrite is they start as freelance writers. They do such a good job with that they come on staff as a member of our team here doing some area and they become employees. But freelance writers, specifically for blogging, but also we have writers that are now on our staff, but they help yep. us with creating some of these podcast outlines. They go and turn these podcasts into other blog posts and help us with lots of our different content. So we know because we employ multiple freelance writers here at yep. ReachWrite, and I see a lot of pastors that are actually really great writers making side hustles out of this here. So is there enough volume that it's just kind of a no-brainer? I don't think so, but it is pretty good. I think kind of give you some idea as far as how much you could make doing that. Usually with freelance writing, it's done by the word. So it depends on the kind of content you're making. If it's really like tight copywriting that's really sales, like really optimized, you mm-hmm. might charge a certain amount. But general freelance writing or entry level, it would usually be like blog writing. Yeah. And with AI tools and things now, it's got down to around 5 cents a word is probably on average. So a 2,000 word blog post that kind of what you'd be looking at there is somewhere around $100 is what the compensation would be on something like that. So
yeah
you can make decent money. It is a lot of work. It is a grind doing, you know, regular 2,000 word blog posts and things. But I think it is something that's a pretty good side hustle for people.
Yeah, no, it's good. And the next one is a little different, real estate investing.
Yeah, so this one, I don't know, like, real estate investing is not,
yeah.
so if someone's really looking for a side hustle to make ends meet,
yeah.
you're probably not a good candidate for real estate investing. I think that are there workshops that'll tell you that you can go buy houses and flip them for no money down? And as a, I'm sure there are, but just as someone who kind of has a lot of side hustles and hobbies, and one of those is finance. Personally, I would say real estate investing is probably for someone that is looking for a side hustle, not a good one to jump into. I think it, if you're going to make a lot of money in it, it becomes all consuming. It would be hard to pastor a church full time with that. And I just think when we talk about investing, investing implies that you have a chunk of change to invest in these kinds of things. Now, you could use other people's money in those things. I'm sure, there's ways around that. And I'm sure someone will let us know in the comments that they've done very well with real estate investing. I'm sure you have. But I think for an easy, quick win kind of a thing, it's not that. So I think it's, you know, you could make a case for a Sunday supplement, but I think it's a holy hustle headache for someone looking for a side hustle.
Yeah, that's it. It's good. Yeah, it was definitely a different one there. So church consulting.
Yeah, good. Okay, so this one is going to depend pretty heavily on the kind of person that you are. I think that there's some people that are just made for consulting, and they're really just wired for it. They're good at... it's usually people that are fantastic networkers, great salespeople, if you will, and they're the ones that are good candidates for this. It's not for everybody. So just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're good at consulting for churches. So that's kind of a title that we use for you and some of our sales team, I know here sometimes, Ian, because we do church marketing consulting is what we do. We do consults with churches on this. We've been in this industry for a long time. I've hired dozens of pastors. We always found that in our line of work that we just had a hard time finding people that have no pastoral ministry experience that could speak to other pastors about, you know, how
or
to
we're not
better
active
their church.
In ministry to some degree, for sure.
So that's how I got into helping churches in this area. But we have always found that our best consultants were always people that had pastoral ministry experience at a minimum, or were actively pastoring a church at the same time. So I do love it. It really, like, it's such a broad term. So if you're just going out on your own and just looking to start a consulting on something you really know well, you know, it could be good, it could be bad. I know, like right now, I would love to hire a pastoral consultant on sound tech. We live in Hawaii, so, you know, we don't have the range that a lot of people have, but we would love to have people come in and coach our team from a pastoral perspective on how to do sound better at our church. So these kinds of people do exist, and if you have that skill, people pay for it. You know, I think if it's just kind of your skill is really as a generalist, it can be harder to build an audience for that. But I think if you get it down into a niche, I think it can be really good. So it could be as high as blessed and booming. I think for most of us, I'm going to put it in the Sunday supplement category.
Okay. Okay. And this next one, I think people might think it's in the same vein, teaching or tutoring.
Yeah. So this one, I'm thinking specifically about, you know, with young people. I know I did this as a young pastor, as I did guitar tutoring at a local Christian school. I would come in and I would bang out 5 tutoring appointments with kids, you know, back to back to back. And we'd go through guitar lessons and those kinds of things. And it was great. It was a great way to supplement our income a little bit. We were first kind of starting out in life. And yeah, I really like this one. So, you know, I don't think the earning potential in this, it's probably not enormous. There's lots of very lucrative tutoring businesses. But if you're looking just to come on as a tutor, maybe getting on with some kind of a tutoring organization to find work that way, you could probably get a few $100 a week that way. I think it'd be a nice supplement for a lot of people. So I think it's, I think I'm going to do a high Sunday supplement is what I would say for it. It's not a huge earning potential. That's what holds it back. But I think that it is something that's really solid. It's something that a lot of pastors should consider.
This next one, I think people are aware of. It's been around for a long time. You've done it, I know, and that's wedding officiating.
Yeah, this is a great one. I think it's going to be a little bit location dependent. Like I said before, I live in Hawaii, so we have tons of people that are doing destination weddings here. I have a friend that pastors a church, and I think he told me that last or maybe 2 months ago, He did 31 weddings in a month. That's how many he's doing. So obviously unique set of circumstances in that, you know, most of us will only be able to do one a week, if anything, on the weekends. But here, you know, there's people that are coming and they want it for the photo shoot on the beach. And, you know, a lot of these hotels are doing 9 weddings a day and this kind of stuff. And so it is kind of a, it's weird to say, it's like a wedding mill. Now, there's some considerations too as pastors, is that we have to think about, there's certain things that I feel is convicted about not marrying in certain conditions. So I don't say yes to anybody that tells me they want to be married.
Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of things in scripture about Christians and non-Christians, you know, tying the knot, and I'm generally not for that. So there's some questions that I have to ask, but in the right circumstance, I think this can be lucrative for pastors. I know that kind of when we look at honorarium studies, we did a whole video about that. I'll link to that right up here. You'll see, you can find out more about what you should be giving people for their honorariums and what the averages are. For a wedding, I'd say it's right around $300 is what's typical as an honorarium for a pastor at a wedding. It's going to be really heavily dependent on your region. So if you do a few of those a month, you know, that's a pretty decent supplement, I would say, for a lot of people. So, so I'm going to put this one into the blessed and booming. And I think it's a really good one. Probably my favorite of all of these.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. And again, I know you've done it a lot. So other one would be, and this is a side hustle, this next one for a lot of people, but that's like driving for rideshare, delivery services, Uber, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is great in that it like has peak flexibility. Like you have nobody setting your schedule but yourself.
Right.
And you like, you can do it when you have time. I once hopped into a rideshare with a guy when we were headed to Chicago, and what he would do every day on his way to work is he would just find someone looking to go into downtown Chicago and pick him up, and he got to go to work and paid for his parking, basically, was his thinking on that. You know, I think that this is really great in that regard. Ultimate flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge here, again, is just how much money you make from it.
Right.
You know, a lot of times there's just so much expense that is kind of a sneaky expense with this kind of stuff, because you don't really feel it until you are, you know, you don't really feel until you actually do the maintenance on your car or put new tires on there or you're loading up gas and that kind of stuff. That's when it can get costly. So if you have an e-bike and you're in an urban area, I think it'd be really good that way too. If you're just kind of doing bike Uber Eats and that kind of stuff there, that can be great. Do they have that in your area, Ian?
They do a bit, yeah. Yeah, I mean, more in like downtown Austin area, not in the suburbs and everything, so
Yeah, I mean, so the expenses are much lower when you're on a bike, so you could probably save some money that way. But so because of the flexibility, but it, I balance that with the, you know, kind of middling earning potential, I would say this would be a Sunday supplement.
And last and maybe least, I'm prejudging right now. I don't know. You might turn it around for me, but selling handmade or digital products.
You don't like peddling soaps and that kind of stuff, Ian, or candles?
The first thing I thought of was soap, because we know someone that has goats on their farm and they started making goat soap and it didn't really work out well for them. They couldn't find enough goat soap buyers. Hey, if you're out there and you're selling goat soap from goat's milk specifically, we're all for you, and maybe you are successful. Let us know.
Rebuke
Ian
in the comments if you, if that's
right.
you, please.
That's right.
So tough racket, I would say.
Depends on what it is, right? When we say digital product or something handmade, what is it? Yes.
Yeah. So it can be good. Like, if you just have to have really good products and really like digital products or handmade products. And that's what it comes down to is. And what it takes, I just know a lot of people that do kind of the farmers market circuits and those kinds of things.
I'm just thinking of that,
You know, and it's just, it's not, we have these ideas when we start these businesses that like the product would be so good that it would just go viral. But like it really, it becomes a full-time job to do this kind of stuff here. So, but you know, who am I here? So Ian, you and I started a company that does something that's like a digital product. We sell our stuff online.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, this is this was a side hustle, so it's been a very lucrative side hustle for us,
right,
and that turned into a career, and it's been fantastic. But I don't think that if you're looking for a way to make some money in the next 3 months,
right,
that it's probably a good way to do something like that.
No. And it's more than a side hustle now. So, yes.
it is more than a side hustle. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the digital product thing, I think it's always something that, yeah, why not just, you know, right, make a book or a guide or something that we then come on and sell.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the marketing side and, you know, the investment you have to do in social media and getting people to buy it. It usually isn't worth the squeeze in my experience. I know a lot of people, specifically ladies, that have done really well doing handmade products and that kind of stuff. My wife is an artist. She does paintings and landscape painting and that kind of stuff and is fantastic at it. But I just know that it's, you know, it's more a hobby than it is a career,
right.
I would say.
I was about to say. If you want to be the guy at the farmer's market, and you may have a great product, you could just be the pastor that likes that as an evangelism opportunity, and you're not looking to make boatloads of money.
Yeah, so that's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So we're not here to come against
nothing
that. But for like income-producing ideas, there will be exceptions to this, but I don't think that it's going to be something that's an obvious home run for everybody. So for that reason, I put it into the holy hustle headache category.
There you go.
Cool.
Well, that's
anything else to add, Ian?
No, we hope.
You going to go start a new one of these? Which one are you going to go for?
Which one would I go for? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to write a new book.
You're going to write a new book.
I'm kidding.
I'm ready to test the waters on the real estate investing. I know I said that was a holy hustle headache.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. That's like kind of long-term goals for us on some things, but not as a side hustle. I don't think of it that way at all. But it's... a little different. So let us know which one makes sense for you. We'd love to hear about that in the comments. If you have one, a side hustle that has been great for you and you're willing to add a little competition to the market and let us know, that would be awesome. Drop it in the comments. Thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family, guys, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.